Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Lakey. I'm the commissioner of the Texas Department of State Health Services. I think it's right at 2:30, so I want to go ahead and start. I want to welcome you to the Martha May Elliott Forum. Many of you may already know quite a bit about Dr. Elliott, but for those of you that do not, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Elliott. Dr. Martha May Elliott was a physician, a pediatrician. She served as a chief for the Children's Bureau Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, now the Department of Health and Human Services, and retired in 1956. Her work really was instrumental in improving maternal and child health during the Great Depression. Dr. Elliott was a moving force in the APHA section for maternal and child health and served as the APH president in 1958. And in 1964, in order to honor her legacy, the Martha May Elliott Award was begun. And again, I welcome you to the Martha May Elliott Forum. We have several speakers today. A couple logistical items before we begin. I was told to pass out a sign-in sheet, so if you have an opportunity, please sign in. I don't think it's large enough to get all the individuals that are here today. And also, logistical issue, they asked that we give you any disclosures. I've checked with all the presenters, and there really isn't anything for us to disclose as we begin. Again, I want to welcome you. All our presenters will talk for about 12 minutes, and I think we have, I think you'll enjoy this presentation. Many great speakers are here with us today. And as I look across the audience, I see many of the drivers of maternal child health, infant mortality, prematurity interventions in the United States. So please welcome. Thank you for coming. Again, my name is David Lakey. I'm the Commissioner of Health for the state of Texas, and I'd like to share with you some of the things that we've been doing in the state of Texas, and then how we developed that into what we've called our presidential challenge, one part of a national movement to try to better address infant mortality and prematurity through the United States. Again, just to begin with, this is a significant public health issue. I think all of us need to understand the importance of addressing prematurity. And we're talking with prematurity infant birth prior to 37 weeks. It is extremely prevalent. It affects over 500,000 babies per year. That's about 1 in 8 infants born in the United States. It is the most frequent cause of infant death, the leading cause of long-term neurological disabilities in children. And there's a huge economic cost. In the United States, the healthcare system incurs about a $26 billion cost due to prematurity, according to CDC statistics. My background is that I'm an infectious disease physician. And so to be honest with you, as I became the Commissioner of Health several years ago, this wasn't on the top of my agenda. But as I was looking at the data that was coming out of the state of Texas, it became very apparent to me that we weren't doing very well at all related to infant mortality and prematurity in our state, and that we needed to do better. In a meeting that I had with my fellow state health officers in San Antonio, Region 4 and 6, especially the southern part of the United States, we go and we share what we're doing well in and where are our challenges. And it became apparent in that meeting that all of us were struggling with what we could do better with infant mortality and prematurity. That there were good state-based solutions. There were things that were very interesting that were occurring in the states. But we had to get better at figuring out what are those solutions, how we could share that information, and how we could move on this area. I think if you look at the data, it wouldn't be surprising if you got the southern states together that this would be one of those issues that would boil up to the top, because the data in the southern part of the United States is significantly different than the rest of the United States. I'm going to share a little bit of the Texas data, but I think this type of data is very consistent across the southern part of the United States, and some of these factors are very consistent across the United States. If you look at where we have been related to infant mortality, we've been stagnant. We've been stagnant for the last decade. And this is one of those areas where there's significant ethnic disparities, with the rates of a child dying in the first year of life that's African American being about twice as high as if the child was Caucasian. And that type of data is consistent with prematurity, that the rates in the African American community are significantly higher than in other ethnic groups in the state of Texas. And as I look at the data, it's significantly higher throughout the United States. Now, when we look at data, something that's important to me is that let's not lose the face of what we're talking about. There's a huge human cost related to prematurity. When that baby is born early, it's not ready to really survive and thrive here. You have increased sickness, increased morbidity related to the underdeveloped lungs, life-threatening infections. There's increased disability that lasts that child's life, throughout the rest of that child's life. And increased mortality, not only in that first year of life, but in many additional years of that child's life. It's also important, I think, to remember that it's the whole family is affected when the baby is born prematurely. It can be a major stressor on the family. But one of the things that I've learned as a commissioner of health in the state of Texas is that there are many noble causes asking for dollars as I go before the legislature. And so if I have just a worthy cause, I don't necessarily get traction. And so I'd like to tell you, part of the story today is how we've gotten traction on this in the state of Texas. And I think part of that is the need to couple that noble argument with a very strong economic argument, that it's in the state's best interest on its bottom line if you better address prematurity in our states. It's costing our states a ton of money. And let me show you some of that economic argument that we've developed in Texas and we've been working throughout many states with. That if you look at the average charge per stay and per day for the top 10 principal diagnosis, the highest charges per stay, 4 of the 10 are related to birth outcomes. Infant respiratory distress, premature birth weight, low birth weight, the cardiac circulatory defects, the lack of oxygen to the baby in utero during birth. It is extremely expensive when the baby is born prematurely. So who incurs that cost? In the state of Texas, 56% of all births are paid for by Medicaid. In the state of Mississippi, Louisiana, I think Oklahoma, they pay Medicaid for about 70% of all the births. That gives you a strong economic argument to be able to drive Medicaid policy to get better at addressing this issue. And again, when I look at the state of Texas, the cost is about $2.6 billion per year for birth and delivery services, and that right now is tremendously influenced by the rates of prematurity. And that the cost of infant care is growing by about 7% per year. So as I go to the legislature, I have to have a good human argument, an economic argument, but you also have to be able to show the legislature that you can do something about it. And I would argue that this is one of those areas where there's evidence-based practices that state-based solutions, federal solutions, that there's things that we can implement throughout the nation and in our states to make a difference in this area. If you look at the possible points of interventions, there's issues such as how healthy is mom before she gets pregnant. If she's smoking, if she's overweight, the obstetricians in Texas will tell me that I can't change that in the 9 months that I have this opportunity to be involved in her pregnancy. And so we need to get better at addressing how healthy the mom is. There's issues related to maternal care. Are we getting moms into prenatal care? What type of prenatal care is she getting into? Issues about, and we'll talk about this, about the role of inductions and inductions that are non-medically indicated as we address this issue. And there's issues of not only the right time, but also the right place. Is the baby being born in a hospital that can care for a baby that's premature? And then there's issues after the baby is born to ensure that the baby can have a healthy, happy first birthday. Are we teaching moms how to lay the baby down to go to sleep, breastfeeding, injury prevention? There's a whole host of issues, policy-based solutions that we can address, implement in our states to address infant mortality and prematurity. So again, just to give you some of that scope here in the state of Texas, a challenge with inductions that we have. Right now in the state of Texas, 1 out of 4 deliveries in 2010 were induced. That rate had increased by 40% over the last decade. And so the question is, you know, are we inducing the right moms? Well, if you look at our data, almost 40% of single birth inductions were performed before 39 weeks in 2010. That's a problem. If we look at if babies are being born in the right place in my state of Texas, again, the answer is no. If you look at very low birth weight babies, they represent less than 2% of U.S. births, account for 55% of infant deaths. We have our level 1, 2, and 3 system, and we have a Healthy People 2010 goal that 90% of very low birth weight babies would be born at level 3 hospitals. But there's 10 states, including the state of Texas, that are below 70%, and in the state of Texas, we're below 50%. And that's another problem. We talked about how healthy is mom before she gets pregnant. We have an obesity epidemic going on throughout the United States. And again, there's significant ethnic disparities. And so this also impacts how we're doing related to infant mortality and prematurity. So because of this, a little over 2 years ago, we decided in the state of Texas that we would have an organized approach to addressing birth outcomes in the state of Texas, and we labeled this. We called it our Healthy Texas Babies. The goals, we would provide local partnerships and coalitions with major roles in shaping programs in their communities using these evidence-based interventions, things that we were stealing from Kentucky, from Louisiana, those evidence-based practices that we could bring home to our state. And that we set a mark out there that let's just talk about it. Let's put a metric out there and see if we reach that metric. And we said that we would decrease premature birth rates by 8% over 2 years. And using working with our Medicaid office, using DRG codes to actually calculate what is that cost if we incur that reduction. Not looking at the hard to reach, but even the healthy babies that are born, the relatively healthy babies that are born early, and I can give you more information about those specific DRG codes. By doing that 8% reduction, we'd save $7.2 million in our Medicaid program. That economic argument made it extremely easy for us to sell this through a very tight legislative session. So we asked for $4 million to using evidence-based approaches to save the state $7.2 million on its bottom line, and we got those funds in our budget. So we've also had other successes through this initiative. One of the legislative initiatives that came out of that Healthy Texas Babies expert panel, and let me back up, that expert panel really are experts in the state of Texas. We have about 80 experts, physicians, public health, all the state agencies that are involved, Medicaid, the military, Department of Family Protective Services, the Attorney General's Office, the Governor's Office, the Lieutenant Governor's Office, all those big policymakers are at the table talking about how can we move forward. And they are extremely engaged. All the insurance companies in the state of Texas are part of this right now. And that group came and gave us some specific direction during the legislative session. One of them was that we need to do better at the non-medically indicated induction issue. And so during the last legislative session, statute was put in place that all hospitals had to have policies to decrease non-medically indicated inductions before 39 weeks. And it also told the state Medicaid program that the Medicaid program would put into policies that would reduce non-medically indicated inductions. Basically, October 2011, the state Medicaid program stopped paying for non-medically indicated inductions before 39 weeks. It was decided that by paying for those, we were enabling poor practice guidelines that have been out there for a long time, and we have had that policy now for over a year in the state of Texas. But that wasn't enough. We also noted that we needed to have outreach programs for fathers to make sure they were involved in the pregnancies, that they learned what they needed to learn in order to become a father, a dad. And as I noted earlier, there's a challenge related to the NICU care in the state of Texas. And so there was a directive to regionalize NICU care, and we're working on that currently in the state of Texas. And as I noted, we got the $4.1 million in general revenue. We've been able to take those funds, put them in communities across the state of Texas. Each community has gotten about $200,000 using data to say where they get the biggest bang for that buck, bringing the groups together, but also have specific things that they will implement, and they're currently implementing those across the state of Texas. For example, in Corpus Christi, they're looking at preconceptive diabetes management. Dallas, they needed to look better at why babies are dying, and so they've invested in a fetal infant mortality review. I won't go through all of these, but you can see there's a variety of programs, Centering Pregnancy, Stork's Nest, a variety of projects throughout the state of Texas that we used the data in order to decide what the specific intervention would be throughout the state of Texas. We're also doing some statewide interventions, and this is a program that we're rolling out actually this month called Someday Starts Now. Basically, the message is that if you want to have a healthy baby 5-6 years from now, you need to start working on your health right now. That someday starts now. You're not just riding your bike. You're not just eating healthy. You're getting ready to have a successful pregnancy. And so the way this will work, we have PSAs that are going out. We will have a complimentary webpage that women will then go and look at. has much more information that they can then utilize in order to address how they can get healthy so they can have a healthy pregnancy in the future. We also have an initiative that's very similar called Protect 2 from the Flu, trying to drive immunization rates up for women that are pregnant. Again, a PSA that has that message that then drives women to a website that has that information, physicians, et cetera, explaining why that is so important. And I think we're having some success. I guess one of the other issues is that, as I tell our folks and our agency, you know, the reason we gather data is not so that we can be health historians. We need to gather data so we can use it to drive quality improvement. And so we are now able to show preliminary data for 2011. I can also show you partial year data for 2012. So I can show you our prematurity rates for this far in 2012. And Dr. House, I see you up here at front. You can see that in 2009, 2010, the prematurity rates were 13.3, 2011, 12.8. So far this year, 12.5. We're going in the right direction in the state of Texas. So I had the opportunity a year ago to become the president of an organization called ASLO, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. And several years ago, one of my predecessors had this great idea that instead of just being the president and managing, why don't we have a presidential challenge? And so it's kind of evolved over the last 5 years. But we took this opportunity to challenge other state health officers as we became president to have what our ASLO Healthy Babies initiative, to improve birth outcomes by reducing infant mortality and prematurity in the United States, focusing on improving birth outcomes with state health officers working in their states to be leaders to move forward, creating a unified message and have clear metrics. We also decided that, again, instead of just talking about it, we had to have a SMART goal. You had to have a specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, timeline-driven goal. And so, and it may seem hard to reach. I would say that data shows that you can reach it, that we can reduce prematurity by 8% by 2014, by the states implementing best practices that have been proven throughout the United States. And again, this is part, I think, of a national movement. There are many partners working in concert to drive the rates in the right direction. March of Dimes, HRSA, through their Southern Infant Mortality and the COIN. These are things that you're going to hear about today. The Secretary's Advisory Committee on Infant Mortality and the work that's reinvigorated. AMCHIP and the Compendium to Improve Birth Outcomes. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can take best practices from other states and implement them. The work for ACOG to look at the vital statistics and how do we how do we define things in OBGYN. CMS over the last year has developed an expert panel working to improve maternal and infant health. Again, they are a key partner as we try to make that economic argument and move this forward. That the National Governors Association now has decided that they believe that this is an important issue and are going to be working on this. And there's many other opportunities to work on this. And so I'm going to hand off to my next speakers, and I think you'll enjoy and be very interested in what they have to say. But I would say that we have a problem with infant mortality and prematurity, that there, you can make a very strong economic argument. There are specific things that you can do about it that are evidence-based. And by getting the right partners behind you at the state level, at the federal level, this is an area that we can make a significant change in a timeline that's really not that far out. We can make a change in a couple of years on this very important public health issue. So I want to thank you.